Today's episode of Last Burn Radio was brought to you by Mark, Jason, Ashley, and other listeners just like you. If you'd like to support Blast Burn Radio, you can do so over at patreon.com/challengeacceptedmedia. You can pledge your support and start earning exclusive rewards today. Thank you.
They said, look, you're a bomb, and I'm going to bring you to be a bomb. Do you understand? And she was like, I love you. You could do no wrong to me. I love naive Pokemon. It's great.
Did you get more wood?
Oh, yeah.
I had a strategy of just feeding my Marowak all the drugs.
That's not medical advice. I'm not liable. Podcasts aren't real.
You are now listening to Blast Burn Radio.
And welcome to another episode of Blast Burn Radio. I'm your host, Stephen Charbonneau, and with me today are our spicy friends, our buffalo-flavored co-hosts, Anna Maservier and Celeste Dreyer. Anna, Celeste, how's it going?
It's been a pretty busy week. I am very tired and looking forward to going to bed after this, to be honest.
Oh yeah, you ain't wrong. This week's been really busy. Both like at work and like outside of work or my work, but it's good. I got 10 hours of sleep last night, which I needed because I've been going since like 6 a.m. this morning, just plugging away at business stuff. But on the upside, my taxes are all done.
Hooray!
Taxes, yay!
I got to pay the man. Woo!
I am not... I feel like sometimes all I tell you guys is how my children are bad and make my life hard, and that's not a fair representation. I love my children a whole lot, and as such, I will spare you the story of how they tried to kill both themselves and me today. But I am also tired, I think it is fair to say. yay, Team Nap. Nap Gang.
Nap Gang.
Nap Gang. Now, guys, excited is probably not the correct word because I don't know that I have excitement within my physical body right now at this moment, but I am some reasonable facsimile of excitement to announce that we have some news to discuss for the first time since Pokemon Day. We have good news, too, if sometimes confusing and oddly frustrating. You know, like Pokemon, we're Pokemon fans. We know how Pokemon news is. So what's new? Let's find out in this week's Pokemon news. Here is the Poke News.
The Poke News.
Now, guys, our first piece of news is the really confusing one, and it is that the Players Cup 4 has been announced, which is, frankly, a baffling decision because the Players Cup 3 isn't over yet. It's still being played, and they've already announced the Players Cup 4. The qualifiers for the Players Cup 4 will begin before the Players Cup 3 is finished, which, slow the fuck down, Pokemon Company. You're doing too fucking much when you're stepping on your own championship series because you're just pushing them out so hard. There has to be some sort of deadline that they're pushing to be shoving them this close together. But yeah, the Players Cup 4 is coming. The Players Cup 4 qualifier will use the VGC 21 Series 8 rule set, the rule set that allows for one restricted legendary. I have heard reports by word of mouth, but have not seen official confirmation because I haven't looked very hard for it, that the actual Players Cup 4 itself will take place in Series 7 again, without restricted Mon, because heaven forbid there be any goddamn consistency in the format of these fucking tournaments. Registration for the qualifier, however, is live when you are listening to it and will remain so through April 8th later this week. Competition will run from the 9th through the 11th. Now, Players Cup 4 competitions are not exclusive to video game VGC for Sword and Shield. They will also be held for Pokemon TCG Online and Pokken Tournament. Now, with that being said, this is the fourth Players Cup. And again, they're really starting to run into each other. But Players Cup 4 is unique in the now semi-long-running online tournament series in that it will feature three phases. The International Challenge Online Open Qualifier that we just discussed. The invitation-only regional qualifiers, which will be held in a Swiss format. And invitations for those will be based on performance in the open qualifier. And a top cut round of the top four players from each region that will participate in the World Championship. Though it can't be considered a true replacement for Worlds as we know it, because this competition notably won't feature any Japanese players or junior or senior division play, something that has been crucially missing from the tournament scene since COVID Thanos snapped physical meat space tournaments into oblivion. This iteration, however, will feature cash prizes, something that have been desperately missed by hardcore competitors from the days of big live competitions. What do you guys think? The Players Cup is clearly evolving, but is that enough at this point, frankly? Is Players Cup able to fill the gap left by the big live tournaments? And what steps could and should the Pokemon Company be taking to get it over that hump?
Well, obviously they're rushing to get to Players Cup 69 for BDSP.
Yeah, what are they just going to keep counting the number up? Are we going to end up at some point with like Players Cup 1064?
Yeah, like I don't know why they can't just find a new name for these tournaments. Like, it seems like by the time you're attacking a three on at the end, it's okay, what are we going to call the next one? And especially since this one is demonstrably different from the past ones, you would think, hey, rebranding time. Nope, just slap a number. It's fine.
Numbers.
I had been a big proponent that the Players Cup was the way of the future for Pokemon tournaments, that there was really no reason to have anything lesser than Worlds or at least Nationals in meat space. I will be the first one to admit I had not been considering juniors and seniors play, and that's a real problem because this is a children's franchise. Not allowing children to compete in their own bracket is a big problem. I understand why you can't really do that in an online format, because how can you verify who is playing behind a given console? But also, it's really unfortunate and frustrating. And I think that in and of itself is reason enough for in-person tournaments to come back in the post-COVID world, unless obviously a better solution can be found. I don't know. I really like this move. I really like them adding Swiss back in. I feel like, having done quite a bit of tournament organizing ourselves within the community, Swiss is a really good tournament format that allows for a lot of give and take with players of varying skill levels, and lets everybody compete even if they hit a couple of unlucky rounds. I also think that the return of cash prizes is unquestionably a good thing for the community. Just because people aren't traveling doesn't mean that excellence shouldn't be rewarded, especially since we are giving, by competing, we are giving the company like spotlight and content and all of the things that they push it to get Pokemon as an esport. Like, yeah, excellence in that should be rewarded monetarily. The company is monetarily benefiting.
Not to mention, it's a ton of work. Like, well, let's call it what it is. Like, a lot of these folks who play at very high levels, they do it, like, almost professionally or professionally. Like, they sink a lot of time into team building and practice and theory crafting and all that stuff. So, I think that it's definitely warranted. And it's a good incentive to get people into the hobby, as it were.
All right, now, that's not the only news story this week. Believe it or not, we have multiple. We also saw new footage for new Pokemon Snap this week, what will almost certainly be our last preview of the game before its release this month. A number of different outlets got, like, virtual tours of the game. They didn't actually get hands-on game experience, but they got shown the game by the developers. And had, like, different, like, interviews and snippets. It kind of did the whole press junket. As with previous previews, it's still Pokemon Snap, so there isn't anything shocking here, but it's absolutely worth watching. Find your favorite video game journalism website, find their inevitable video, and watch it, because every moment spent in this admittedly on-rails world of Pokemon that Bandai Namco have created is just delightful. That said, there was some new information presented. It wasn't all just pretty Pokemon. And let's touch on some of that stuff. We now know that the game will feature gyro controls, at least when played on handheld mode, which, depending on your feeling about those controls, might be a good reason to play the game docked. the game will also have voice acting for human characters. We also now know that it will not feature trainer customization beyond choosing from one of the preset options at the beginning. Sorry, fam, fashion is not the end game of Pokemon Snap. We now know that each of the stages within the game can be visited both during the day and the night, and that Pokemon and interactions will vary wildly between the day and night biome for each location. We also know that despite the game being on rails, following preset paths, at least some of the stages will have multiple branching paths that you can choose from while you are moving through them. So yeah, what do you guys think? Knowing that this is likely all of the information that is forthcoming before this game hits physical shelves, are you still excited for new Pokemon Snap? Does this game, as presented, look like it is worth your $60?
I think it probably is. Like, I know that there are some concerns about, like, length of the game, because the original one was really short. But at the same time, like, fans have been asking for Snap, more Snap, for such a long time. And the truth is, like, if they don't make their dollar on it, we won't ever get more Snap. So, for that reason, I think it is worth my $60. Your own mileage may vary. It is a very beautiful game, and it's so nice to just see Pokemon in the world. Like, we've talked about this before, but when Detective Pikachu came out, we got to see in, like, a really highly detailed environment what Pokemon and people, like, we're, like, interacting together in a very natural way. And it's, I don't think we get to see that in the games enough, but Snap does a really good job of that. And I'm really excited to see what they've done with it.
Yeah. And a lot of the stuff that they've described in this, like the branching paths and the different interactions, were a part of Pokemon Snap, I believe. I think there was branching paths. I don't know if there was a day-night cycle. I don't remember. It's been way too long. But a lot of the Pokemon interaction stuff was a lot of the fun of it, and I think that's worth the money itself. And the fact that you are given a dex to complete for different stars of photos will give you a lot more content to work towards as well.
Yeah, I'm still a little bit on the fence here, just because, like, again, you can get a lot of content, a lot of really high quality content, for a $60 sticker tag on a video game these days. And, like, I think all the news that we got this week on Snap was good. It was all good news. Again, the fact that the limited number of stages are going to have great diversity within them to keep you returning to them, it's all good. It's all good. It's also, to me, kind of like the base level minimum. Like, these are the things that I was expecting in an on-rails Pokemon Snap game in 2021. If those things had been missing, it would have been a flaw rather than adding them being a boon, if that makes much sense. Again, will I purchase this video game? Unquestionably. Even if I did not want it personally, my kids have seen it and are excited for it. My wife, who barely plays Pokemon outside of Go, has seen it and is excited to play it. I am going to own it. Would I buy it if it was just for me? I'm honestly not sure, in much the same way that I didn't buy Detective Pikachu for the 3DS, even though, like, it's a Pokemon game and it looked, like, really cute and cool. But I had to ask myself, am I going to get these number of dollars worth of entertainment value out of this video game product? And I'm not sure that I would personally, out of Snap, if it was a me purchase. And I think that's an absolutely valid way to look at this. And I think it's valid not to give it your money if you're on the fence. You know, wait and watch a Let's Play or watch a Twitch stream and kind of see if watching other people play it gives you a desire to get your hands on it yourself, if you are on the fence there. But, like, I can't deny that it makes me happy to look at. And that in and of itself is probably enough justification. Like, even just seeing Pokemon that I haven't seen in a while because they didn't make the Dexit cut into Sword and Shield makes me happy. Seeing Crabrawler scuttle around the beach, Crabrawler is an objectively bad Pokemon. It makes me happy to see it because I haven't seen it in a while. So, you know.
I just loved in the video that we saw the Crabrawler ready to throw down with two Pikachus.
Crabrawler don't give no fucks.
That Pikachu was squaring up with it. It's like, buddy, you're getting into a problem here.
I don't know. I'm not going to complain at additional content, and it's definitely got my dollar. I don't know. I feel like I'm in a weird place because I'm not even sure what more I would ask for from it. Like, reasonably. Like, we were never going to get a Pokemon Snap that was like Pokemon Snap of the Wild, right? Where you're just kind of like free roaming and looking through like vast open biomes for Pokemon. That was never a thing that we were going to get. Realistically, if we want more Pokemon Snap, it is this video game. And that's definitely a thing that I wanted. It's just now that it's in front of me, it's just like, yeah, Snap. Okay, cool.
I think a lot of my desire for it is rose-tinted glasses, to be honest, and I will admit that.
I mean, if it was not for the purchasing power of nostalgia, Pokemon probably would not exist anymore, if we're being 100. Go certainly wouldn't.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I'm looking forward to it. I like Snap because it's very different. Like, I remember when it came out, and I was like, wow. Like, this is such a different take on this. And, you know, the Pokemon Company tries to do different takes on Pokemon a lot. We get lots of like micro games and like little things that they release. I mean, that's how we ended up with Go. That's how we were going to end up with Sleep and maybe will someday, and a teeth brushing app and everything else. But not all of those have staying power, and not all of them resonate with the fan base in the same way that Snap did. So it's nice to see it make a comeback instead of them trying something really different and out there. Like, I would much rather have a new Snap game than have Pokemon Unite.
That's really fair. And also something that I also very much know about myself is I have a bad habit of breaking things down into like objective facts that I can point to and say, I like this, this, and this, and they are good. But like, objectively, based on like the list of features, Pokemon Gold, Silver, and Crystal is probably my least favorite entry in the series. That doesn't explain the fact that being in Johto fills my heart with joy. So, like, this is probably a very similar situation. I've wanted more Snap for a long time. I look at the list of things and be like, ah, this isn't really what I want. It's gonna make me happy to play, though. And sometimes that's enough, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we're spoiled in a way today. Like, AAA games are so big and so expansive, but sometimes having a more simple experience that just has really good core gameplay elements can be a really great experience. And I think we forget that sometimes.
Yeah, I'm currently 120 hours into Persona 5 Royal, so I'm probably just entirely smelling my own bullshit right now. It's fine. All right, so on that note, on the note of the anime waifu collector, let's talk about Pokemon BDSM.
Get the vine whips and the candles, everyone.
We got to get out ahead of it. It was going to be staring us in the face all night if we didn't just get it out of the way. Okay, sex joke aside, I would first like to mention that pointed out to us by listener Justin, I have been incorrectly calling it Pokemon Sparkling Pearl, like the fucking boomer fraud that I am. I don't know the name of the fucking video game. It is Pokemon Shining Pearl. So thank you, Justin. And I don't promise to stop because, frankly, it's a dumb name. They named these games dumb, and it's easy to forget. We have the Adamant Orb and the Lustrous Orb. They could have called them Pokemon Adamant Diamond and Lustrous Pearl. It would have worked and also avoided the fucking sex acronym, but they chose not to do that. And therefore, I'm going to keep calling it Pokemon Sparkling Pearl like the fucking old boomer railing about the Pokemans that I am deep down in my heart.
I love how I did not even bother to go check because you are so much better with Pokemon facts than I am that I was just like, he's got it right.
Yeah, I wasn't worried about it. Honestly, I was more distracted by the fact that it's BDSP, and that's so unfortunate.
It is really unfortunate.
It 100% should be Adamant Diamond and Lustrous Pearl. I will die on that fucking hill.
Listen, someone at the Pokemon company just has a fetish for bowl cuts. And that's how we ended up here.
You're probably not wrong. It's unfortunate. Okay. So we are here tonight to talk about the remakes. And shout out to our good buddy and executive producer, Pat, who was on our last episode, our Pokemon Legends episode, and absolutely would have been joining us on tonight's episode, except that the absolute mad lad participated in a sleep lock this weekend. And if he is not currently passed the fuck out, he should be. So much love to Pat. Now, we're talking remakes tonight. We're talking specifically the new Diamond and Pearl remakes that are coming later in this year. But I also I also just kind of want to discuss remakes in general, like the Pokemon remakes as we know them, what they've done well, what they haven't done well, and kind of what we want from the concept moving forward. Because if anything has become clear, it is that remake games are not going away. Even though they continue to be some of the worst selling Pokemon releases in the franchise, like, they're still successful, and the Pokemon Company and Game Freak continue to come back to that well. So they are going to continue to come back to that well, almost certainly. I guess if there was any game to break that cycle, it would be Pokemon Black and White 3, considering that Black and White are like the sales low point of the entire franchise. If there's any region they look at and go, you know what, actually fuck that one, it's probably going to be Unova.
I don't think they will. You'll just have to wait 6 years to get it.
I am happy to wait. So, but before we dive into the games that are coming and what we want from them and what we are afraid of getting from them, which is a lot, frankly, let's take a minute to just kind of to set the stage as far as Pokemon remakes are concerned. Because we've gotten a number of different styles of adaptations that are drastically different from each other. And I have personally been on the record as not being quite sure what I want from these games. So let's try to figure that out. So our first remake, our first ever Pokemon remake, was, of course, Generation 3's Fire Red Leaf Green, which we played on our own Sleeplock Descent into Madness so many, many moons ago. Now, Fire Red Leaf Green, as compared to the original Red and Blue, has minimal new mechanics through the adventure itself. There are the new types are present in Steel. Not Dark, because there are no Dark types in Kanto, but Steel type is present, and Dark type moves are present, and the full Gen 3 battle system is present. But otherwise, they are incredibly faithful remakes of Red and Blue through that modern adventure, and they're otherwise unaltered until the post game, where you get a substantial new post game area in the Sevi Islands, as well as the national decks and other new content. Our next remake pair was Heart Gold Soul Silver, which saw for a more substantially altered main adventure experience with some new mechanics that made sense sprinkled throughout, notably the new Generation 4 evolutions for Generation 2 Pokemon. Heart Gold Soul Silver also saw major stylistic upgrades from the original Gold Silver Crystal, notably the following Pokemon in the overworld and the Poke Walker peripheral, which were very much a package deal, and an upgraded story trying to increase the plot elements of Johto to greater or lesser success. It is worth noting, however, that these were still very faithful remakes, and sometimes painfully so, as far as like the horrible, horrible level curve of Johto that did not go away when they remade the games. And all of the post-game content that was added to Heart Gold Soul Silver, in contrast to Fire Red Leaf Green, was actually pretty minimal. They added like gym leader rematches, which were great. You can go back and listen to our Heart Gold Soul Silver series to hear all of our flowery praise for the gym leader rematches and how cool of a system that was. And then they also ported the Battle Frontier whole cloth from Platinum. So this was not a new Battle Frontier. It was just take it over here, put it over here, which I think was actually a really good step considering Platinum third versions generally sell very poorly. So packaging that already finished post-game content into a game that is likely to sell better, I think was a really good business move. Now, our next remake in order of release is Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, which is the first one that we have not played for the show. And I'm going to get out in front of this. I have been very harsh in my descriptions of Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. The more I look at that game on paper, the more I think I'm being incredibly unfair to it, at least thematically. Because Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire is the most significant transformation to a game ever made in a remake. It is very much a branching timeline, a multiverse story. It is not a retelling of the events of Ruby and Sapphire. It is a telling of events similar to Ruby and Sapphire when different things happened, when the world progressed in different ways, which is in and of itself kind of wild, but that is how they chose to tackle it. Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire saw the most dollar for dollar new content we have ever received in a remake game. We got new Mega Evolutions in Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. They transformed the face of the Hoenn region, including like major redesigns for places like Mauville City, New Mauville, and Sea Mauville. We saw new Pokemon added to the Hoenn region via the new mechanic, the Area Nav, and the Rustling Grass. This is like for all of its flaws, Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire is easily the freshest take on a Pokemon remake we have ever received. Even more so than our final remake, which is, of course, Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, the first Pokemon game released for the Switch, which is another remake of the original Red, Blue, Yellow story. Specifically, it's a loose yellow remake in this time, where they have stripped out wild Pokemon battling mechanics, replacing them with a capture system similar to Pokemon Go. So a major, major mechanical overhaul there. But otherwise, maybe for the main adventure, at least, maybe a more faithful remake even than Fire Red Leaf Green, in that they actually removed later generational mechanics to make for a more faithful experience. It still has some new mechanics, such as new types like Fairy and Steel, and new moves, but notably held items and Pokemon abilities are just removed outright. And unlike Oras, which was very clearly like a full main series title, which actually supplanted Pokemon X and Y as the main series Generation 6 title until Sun and Moon came out, Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee was a self-contained bubble. It did not interact directly with Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, or Sun and Moon at all, only transferring Pokemon through Pokemon Home. So those are the four remake games that we've received. And obviously each one of them has had like significantly different focus and scope. So I suppose my initial question for you guys is for you individually and for us collectively, where is the sweet spot here? What of these options do we want remake games to be?
So I think honestly, one of the reasons why the remakes tend to be received so poorly overall is because they've taken so many stabs at this. And some of these things aren't what I would consider remakes. Like when I look at what they did with Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, that feels like a reimagining. Like, that's a completely different title, or a title told in a very different way. And I honestly think it's one of the reasons why people are so pissy with it, because they wanted a remake and they got something completely different. But I actually like reimaginings a lot. I think that's really cool what they did with that game. But to me, it is not a remake. A remake is like a modernization of, or an update, largely a graphical update and quality of life features of an older game so that it has accessibility to a new generation of people, or so that people can play them on consoles that, you know, actually sit on their TV stand. If you're going to give me a remake, faithful reimaginings that utilize more modern game systems. So like, as an example, we talk about the additional Pokemon typings and the physical special split. Like, those are important, like, core aspects of the game that aren't generational. They're not restricted to a single generation. They're not Mega Evolution. They're not Dynamax. They're not Z moves. I think that those things should be there in a remake. I don't know if the actual like generational mechanic should be there unless you're doing a reimagining and taking a stab at maybe some just additional post game content. I think it's fine, but the main game should be mostly the same. That's just me though.
Yeah. I honestly think the best type of remake, even though it has its flaws, was Heart Gold Soul Silver for me, just because it brought in the improvements from the generation that it was in, but kept to the same feeling of Johto. I feel they could have done something with the level curve, but it wouldn't have been the same game then.
I mean, fixing the level curve, like, could be considered just a quality of life update.
Yeah.
The most obvious way to fix the level curve in Kanto, for better or worse, would be to make it more linear, which a lot of people really love the Kanto post game for its lack of linearity. The fact that you can kind of go wherever in whatever order you want. Now, they could have still boosted literally everything by about 10 levels and it still would have been underleveled and fine and it would have just been less of a fucking grind. Game Freak, you motherfuckers. But, I do see both sides of that argument. Like, legitimately, as much as the level curve of Kanto is maybe my biggest, like, my Achilles heel when it comes to Heart Gold Soul Silver, I can understand why they didn't mess with it too much, because it's the first Johto. The Johto games are really the only example we have in the Pokemon series of a game that is more open than not, and they didn't want to ruin that, and I can definitely understand that. For me, y'all are never going to let me live this down. I think that of this list, I really like what they tried to do with Oras. Again, my feelings on the execution and how it felt to play it, maybe not quite as glowing. We'll see how that feels when we get back to them with BBR, because I also think a lot of that had to do with playing Oras as my primary cartridge, like as a long-term games as a service standpoint, not as just a single playthrough. I feel like I might actually like Oras a lot better playing through it and then putting it down and being done with it than I did like breeding in it and living there and looking at Brendan's stupid fucking hat all the time. My 5-year-old, fun story, my 5-year-old, and every time she sees Brendan, like if I'm playing Emerald or just wherever, she's convinced that he's Guzma, and I just choose to live in her headcanon now. Like that is that is fact as far as I'm concerned. It's just your boy Guzma.
What's interesting is if they would market those games as reimaginings, I'm all down for that. I think, like I said, I think Oras was really cool. Like what they tried to do here, you're 100% right. I don't think that's what we would traditionally call a remake.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that the best example of a remake on this list, honestly, again, y'all are going to bust my ass for it, I think it's Fire Red Leaf Green. Fire Red Leaf Green was an excellent remake and added more meaningful new content than anything else on this list that is not Oras. Like, the Sevii Islands are large. Like, there's a lot to do there. It was meaningful in that it fixed a major flaw of the generation that it was introduced in, as far as backwards compatibility and unavailable Pokemon. It made all of the Kanto Mon available and a lot of the Johto Mon through the Sevii Island postgame. Fire Red Leaf Green are good games. And I didn't feel that way after our sleepwalk of them, but after playing through it more, on a more sane timetable.
And more awake.
And more fully, playing through all of the Sevii Islands, seeing that, like, there's an actual good story payoff at the end of that post-game content that leads directly into the Johto games and how Team Rocket reforms. It felt good to play. I like Fire Red Leaf Green a lot, and I think that they strike probably the perfect balance of a remake game, being faithful interpretations of the game, but then also giving you more on top of that. Now, with that being said, let's take a look at our remake games, at Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl, which are coming in 2021, and which we now know are going to be not produced by Game Freak and are going to be, quote, faithful retellings, which I know some of us have some feelings about Diamond and Pearl. So there is liable to be some strong emotion attached to that word faithful. But let's talk about these titles, and specifically to start, how modern, how main series do you think these games should be. You know, on our scale of Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, where they're utterly in their own bubble, just this is these games, deal with it. They don't interact with anything else. They have true to their own generation mechanics for the most part, versus Oras, where it's a whole new world. How do we want BDSP to land?
I mean, with what they've showed us, like, I would be happy with a self-contained ecosystem. Like, I don't need it to be Sword and Shield. It's clearly not. And I think that's okay.
Yeah, I could see that. I would like to see some more modern things pulled into it, but I could live without a lot of it. I just want them to fix the decks, and I want them to not have the lag, but I wouldn't see any of the lag from the DS era go into it.
I would say that they're going to fix the lag problem, but then again, they didn't fix the XP problem. I'm just kidding. They're going to fix the lag problem. It'll be no issue.
Yeah. I mean, it's a whole new engine. It's going to be fine. I'm kind of hoping that they land on the fire red leaf green sweet spot. Personally, I am fine with it being a very largely truthful remake of Diamond and Pearl. I would like to see new content in the post game. How new obviously can vary, and I would like to see new Pokemon and Pokemon that weren't originally available in Sinnoh in the post game. Either give this game a national dex or make it like backwards compatible with Sword and Shield at least. And like, there are a ton of great Pokemon that are currently just still Thanos snapped. It seems pretty clear at this point that we are heading towards a world where that is not going to be true. This is a great way to introduce some of them while also making Diamond and Pearl feel fresher. You know, the Sinnoh games, not exactly known for their great variety of fire types. You know who's currently not available anywhere? Pyroar. I can't think of a region where Pyroar would be more appreciated than fucking Sinnoh.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're not wrong.
I'm not asking for a ton here. I would like to see a post-game story with some new areas. Doesn't have to be enormous. And I would like to see more Pokemon, whether they're available during the main story, whether they're available in the post-game only. You know, again, dealer's choice. And for the love of God, just give us... I would love to have the Battle Frontier. If the Battle Frontier is not reasonable, if that is too much, give us some battle facilities that are not just the same goddamn battle tower we've been getting for four fucking generations now.
Port it over.
Every time you give us something new, it's better. Give us something new. It'll be better. I promise.
But the Frontier was never new, but it was always good.
Well, because individual facilities in the Frontier might be new, and even when it wasn't, there was a lot of variety there. With that being said, if we are following the school of Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, and it seems like we very well might be, that these might be a self-contained generation, like a bubble generation, as it were. But in Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, we saw lots of newer generation mechanics and features. In that case, again, held items and abilities just culled outright, while other newer mechanics, like the fairy type and steel type, stayed in. If we see a similar formula in these remakes, what newer features do you think it would be interesting to leave behind for a single game? Versus, what do you hope survives that cut?
Listen, there are too many fucking HMs in Sinnoh. Just don't. Just don't. take a page out of the book of Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee. Just have alternate ways to fucking do this. There's so many. There's so many. I remember when we were playing through Gen 4, we were like, good lord, you can't go anywhere without having like 20 HMs.
Save the doofs. Don't add HMs.
I had forgotten that until this moment.
If anything, that's killing the doofs, though. The best thing the doofs have going for them is that they learn like half the fucking HMs. But yeah, Rock Climb doesn't need to exist. It doesn't. I promise you, you'll be just fine without Rock Climb. Like, Defog needs to exist competitively, but as far as, like, being a move you have to carry a bird around to fucking get rid of... No.
Please, no.
No, fuck... I actually think that it would be really interesting if these are going to be a true bubble generation and not interact outside. I think it would be interesting to move away from hidden abilities for a generation again, to get it like a true Gen 4 experience. The ability you have is the ability you get. It can either be good or not, but it's what you got. Like, it would make a lot of Mon a lot less powerful, and it would make some notable boys a lot stronger because they would lose their direct competition for the thing that they do well. And I think it would just be interesting if that really is the type of game this is going to be, which admittedly does seem likely. That being said, I really, really want some of the newer, like, strategic battle items to make it in, just because I feel like some of them have really, really interesting usages and mechanics with some of the Sinnoh Pokemon. Stuff like Assault Vest. Assault Vest being a prime example. So many Sinnohmon have quad weaknesses. So fucking many of them are just fat fucks that are quad weak to ice. Specifically ice. All of them are quad weak to ice. Yes, I'm looking at you, Torterra, and Garchomp, and Gliscor. Give those sons of bitches an Assault Vest.
They just don't like the cold in Sinnoh.
It's the coldest place.
It's all cold all the time. There's a snow area of death that just lagged the hell out of everything.
Ugh. Why are y'all living here? I also think, very mild spoilers, I think it's very likely we're going to see Mega Evolution return in BDSP. So if you're not aware, the Pokemon Company like releases like a statue line, or at least it has announced a statue line in conjunction with these games. That statue line includes some Mega Pokemon. It includes a Mega Charizard. It includes a Mega Lucario. It seems odd to make that decision to include those Pokemon in this tie-in merch line and not include those Pokemon in the video game itself. So it's very likely we're going to see Mega Evolution, although if that is the case, it'll probably be a Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee situation where we see existing Megas added in, not new Megas added.
Someone at Game Freak is like, these bitches won't shut up about being sad about Mega Evolution. Put it in the goddamn remake.
You know, honestly, I wonder if to some degree, at least, if... I think if this does happen, I think it is a meaningful decision, and I think it means one of two things. Either the backlash of Dexit has caused Game Freak to do a complete 180 on a lot of the decisions that they made leading up to that, or they were never actually serious about those decisions and it was excuses that they were making for developmental failures. One of those is true, maybe. Or maybe BDSP is built to some degree off of the source code of Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee. And they were just like, well, they're here. They're there. Why not? And I think either of those is potentially possible, and potentially likely if this is correct and if we do wind up seeing Megas. But let's get wacky for a minute. Let's put the tinfoil hats back on. Let's assume that this side game that is going to have a shelf life of about 4 months before Legends releases, that is not created by Game Freak, somehow got the green light for new Megas. Stranger things have happened. Shadow Lugia exists, okay? Who's getting a Mega and why?
Well, if Game Freak does it, then it'll just be any Gen 1 Pokemon that made it into the decks. I would love to see Luxray get a Mega.
Oh, God.
I would really love that.
Luxray deserves it so much.
Mega Doof.
And I mean,
Mega Doof.
Mega Doof. We definitely see one of the starters, too.
Oh, yeah. All, like the starters would. 100. If we are getting new Megas, then the Sinnoh starters are getting their own. That is, I think, pretty unquestionable. My shot, my big shot for a new Mega in the Sinnoh region is Electivire, Magmortar, and Rhyperior. I think would all be primed to get one.
Yeah.
And all kind of need one too, because like none of those are fantastic Pokemon. Rhyperior saw a bit of a renaissance in usage at the beginning of Sword and Shield just because he fat. He fat and used weakness policy real good, and that is weakness policy go burr is VGC 20. Like that is the meta. But overall, like they've all definitely been victims of power creep, which tend to be the type of Pokemon that Game Freak favors to reward with Megas. And also are frankly all ugly as fucking sin and could probably use the help.
So Mega Rhyperior is, instead of being super slow, he's super fast because someone's chiseled away all of his extra rock.
it's just fucking Michelangelo's David under there.
Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking.
He just goes full anime and all the armor drops off and now I'm 10 times stronger and faster because all that weight is gone.
A lot of megas change the way Pokemon work. Like, I really wonder if you would see something like an offensive Empoleon, which I think would be really, really cool.
Yeah, that would be really awesome.
That would be rad as fuck, actually. Especially a physically offensive Empoleon. Like, one of the things that's always baffled me is Empoleon's hidden ability is Defiant, which is a great ability, but it doesn't really have, like, the move pool to make incredible use of it or the stats. Like, its offensive physical stats aren't terrible, but they're not, like, what you generally want. Like, why would you ever run a Defiant Empoleon when Bisharp is right there, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that could be really dope, actually, like, a physically offensive, fast Empoleon.
Yeah, there's... The thing about Gen 4, when I think about Gen 4, I think that there's so many, like, iconic Pokemon in Sinnoh. Like, that's what makes it really fun to, like, add Megas in and do cool things with. There's also a lot of Pokemon in Sinnoh that are not the best competitively, but are really cool. And a lot of Megas, like, address problems with, like, existing Pokemon. So, I think that that's also really neat. Krikatoon!
Whoop.
I would be ecstatic to see a Mega Bidoof, to be honest, that it's actually competitively viable, just to turn the 180 on it.
The Mega Barrel.
Yep. Just it becomes OU and just wrecks everything.
It just becomes the fucking golden god doof from the the fucking website.
Pokemon Rusty. Moving on, and I guess related, I think we're all aware that we don't want a strictly faithful retelling of Diamond and Pearl, to greater or lesser degrees, to greater degrees for our friend Celeste, of course, who has been very vocal as to how much Diamond and Pearl personally attacked her. but there are deep flaws in those games. Like, there are deep flaws in just about all of the Pokemon games, but they're very raw with Diamond and Pearl, I think. So I think everyone should be agreed that they require some degree of improvement. That the question becomes how. Like, we've mentioned multiple times that we really hope that they carry forward some of the good things that Platinum did for the Sinnoh region into Diamond and Pearl. But I suppose my question is, what specifically do you want to see improved in Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl? And is it more interesting to port over those Platinum improvements or to improve them whole cloth in different and unique ways and let Platinum stand as its own thing forever?
I mean, legitimately, the biggest quality of life change is the Dex. The Dex is garbage in those games, and they don't have to take Platinum's improvements. They could do their own take on that easily enough, and it would still be good. Like, I think a lot of folks, myself included, want the story beats that really made it feel like a more, like, complete game. And I will miss them. And I am convinced that the only reason that we're not getting that is because the Pokemon Company wants to sell two versions to people like you and me. That's why we're never going to get a director's cut in a remake, you fucking cowards.
Yeah, if they didn't remake Platinum, they're never remaking a third version.
They're not.
Until we get to Black and White 2. They'll remake Black and White and then remake Black and White 2 and then make Black and White 3.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
You can dream.
It's going to be Black and White 2 ends amusement park.
N is a good, sweet fuckboy. Leave him alone.
I hope that in Black and White 3, our player character adventures through the world only to find a skeleton with a hat on it.
he's a very confused Zoroark. He's fine.
Oh my god.
Black and White 3 ends Pokemon Snap in the music track.
Leave him alone. I'm gonna turn into the fucking Britney guy. Leave him alone!
I hate N so much. He's my least favorite character in all of Pokemon.
Really? Your least favorite?
My least favorite.
Worse than Brendan.
Worse than Brendan. and then Brendan, right above him.
I think I hate Brendan more. I'd have to say that.
Listen, Brendan never tried to take me on a fucking Ferris wheel and close me like a predator and, like, preach Pokemon ethics to me, all right?
He's a passionate boy who wants the world to be better.
He ain't making it better that way.
He's using all of his stares, all of his many, many stares, to make the world a better place.
That ain't a thing for me. I'm sorry. I'll take Brendan any day.
I did love how at the end of Black and White 2, where he just flies into the dragon, only to make things worse. I'm here to help. Nope.
No, and get out of here. This isn't your game. Shoot.
You tried. A for effort. Maybe.
That is like the tagline of N. A for effort. It's all gone bad for that boy.
He's a good boy, and he tries real hard. Okay, we're not here to talk about N. Why does this keep happening to me? I think it would be really interesting to try some different new things. Like yes, you are 100% correct. The single largest improvement Platinum made was the Pokedex. There are other things, obviously, that are better, but a lot of them just aren't relevant in a remake space, like as far as the speed of the engine. Like, if that's not fixed, then we have much larger problems.
We optimized the Switch for lower performance for this game.
We wanted it to be real, to have the same feeling as your childhood, as you frustratingly watch the HP bar go down, and for some reason it takes 20 seconds, and then it still doesn't die, because fuck you, that's why.
I have 6 Blissey, I hope you're prepared to be here for an hour. But yeah, I definitely think that there is room to improve the Pokedex in newer and more interesting ways. I am a big proponent at this point of hashtag Pyroar for Sinnoh 2021. Yeah, like there's a lot of room to do different things, and that is what I think I would very much prefer. Again, I am pretty firmly on record as being on the other side of the fence as you, Anna, in that I'm perfectly fine with the Distortion World not making it into BDSP, as long as like that story and those beats are hit upon in Legends. Like I definitely feel like it has to be a part of this generation, but that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a part of this particular title for me. I understand why you feel differently, and I would definitely like to see some new stories told. Again, not to just keep hitting on things that we talked about a month ago, but there are a lot of really dope mythical and legendary Pokemon in Gen 4 who never got much spotlight, or only got spotlight in side games that could really use some attention. And I feel like there's a lot of room to provide that attention here.
Listen, your mythicals will get their movie and like it, and that's it.
Look, Deoxys got a whole goddamn post game. Fucking Keldeo's in the Crown Tundra. Anything can happen. It's all fair game now.
To be fair, the Lake Spirits got a lot of love in Platinum.
I mean, the Lake Spirits did get... I mean, they got a fair amount of development in the core games. That's true. But you've got Pokemon like Cresselia and Darkrai. You've got Shaymin.
Shaymin's so good.
Shaymin is so good.
You've got Manaphy. And again, Manaphy got a lot of development in Pokemon Ranger, a side game that anyone who wasn't super into Pokemon around 2007 has probably never played, right?
I watched gameplay of that. I don't know if I could handle it. Drawing circles. So many circles.
Lots of circles. It's WarioWare, but Pokemon. It's wild. For me personally, like a Cresselia and Darkrai story in particular, just because like there's so much rich and fertile lore there that's just... it's nowhere. It doesn't exist. There's Regigigas was introduced in Gen 4 with a series of like DLC events where you could download events to go hunt down the other Regis in Sinnoh, and then with all three of them go encounter Regigigas, which is pretty fucking rad.
Regigigas, the clown car golem.
I don't particularly want another Regi story after Crown Tundra, but like it's there. There's a lot to play with in Sinnoh. There's a lot. There's one of the reasons Sinnoh is so beloved by so many people is because of how deep the lore of the region is, which means that there's a lot of stuff that is very lightly tapped into in the main series games thus far that is ripe for exploration in the post game of BDSP.
Well, let's hope they do a good job with it then, I guess.
Yeah. I will say the one thing I did really can admit to say that I liked about Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum was the freaking champion. Cynthia.
Cynthia is so good.
I'm tired of the whole internet, the whole goddamn internet being thirsty for Cynthia.
I'm not saying thirsty at all.
Cynthia is great. Stephen Stone is great. Like, I love both of those champions a whole lot. They're probably my favorite in the whole series. So good. I know that you're an Alder fanboy, and I'm sorry he sucks.
Look, you never got to fight him, motherfucker. Don't come at me.
Listen, I already know he sucks. The whole game, he's useless. He's functionally useless. He's the most interacting champion in any game, and he's like, fucked if I know. God, Gen 5. He was better as an old man.
I did not come here to get bullied, god damn it.
Well, that's what you get when you have bad opinions.
I'm going to throw some shit at you. Like, I might not see you for years, but when I do, I'm going to throw some shit at you, and you're going to know what you did.
That was always going to happen. That was always going to happen. We sit on opposite ends of the world. On everything.
I have a feeling, because I'm going to probably visit Steven before you, I'm just going to get thrown shit at the entire time.
Listen, I'll take Alder as an old man who teaches children in Black and White 2. That was the perfect job for him. That's about his education level. I'm good with that.
You motherfucker. All right, guys, I hope you've enjoyed the last episode of Blastburn Radio, because I can't be around these sons of bitches anymore. We're done. Goodbye.
It's over. See ya.
Y'all are brutalizing me. I didn't sign up for this. I came here to have a good time with my friends. I feel attacked.
It's okay. Like, maybe if you're lucky, they'll just omit Cynthia somehow, even though she's tied pretty heavily into the story.
No, I mean, Cynthia's going to be in and she's fine. I just, ever since Masters came out, like, Pokemon waifus have shot through the fucking roof, like stonks. And I'm just like, I'm fine, thanks. I don't need to hear about Cynthia's mommy milkers anymore. I'm good.
At least she's a fucking adult.
That's fair. That's really fair. No spoilies, but we may have already started gameplay for X and Y, and I'm deeply uncomfortable with Shauna, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay. We watched some stuff today while we're doing that. I'll talk about that in a few weeks.
There was a scene.
Oh, y'all don't even know, because you're both playing as the female character. It's way creepier when you're the dude.
Yeah, you'll have to tell us all about it.
Yeah, we're not... This isn't what tonight is. It probably should be. Like, fuck.
I mean, it's all about fun.
Lastly, on our list of topics for the evening... Although probably shouldn't be. I feel like I'm missing a pretty huge one, and I can't think of what it is. But it'll come up or it won't. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm a sleepy boy. Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl are notably the very first main series Pokemon titles not developed and produced by Game Freak. Now, this was like an unthinkable barrier before these games were announced. It was a virtual non-starter. Like, when Dexit happened, people were calling out, like, the Pokemon company needs to give Pokemon to someone other than Game Freak. And everybody was like, yeah, like, that's ever going to fucking happen. But here we are. It has happened. And now that those floodgates are open, the impossible has become not only possible, but probable. Game Freak is not going to be the sole developer of mainline Pokemon titles anymore. And it's unlikely, I think, even that it's just going to be Game Freak and Ilka. Like, now that that door is open, it's open. And it's only going to open wider. It's not going to narrow. So, shoot your shot. What developer or team or individual would you like to see get a crack at not a Pokemon side game, not some, like, new and novel game concept, but a true-ass hero's journey Pokemon game?
That's really hard because, like, I feel like the likelihood of any studio working with Game Freak would be a smaller, more indie studio. And I don't know a ton of those off the top of my head. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm trying to run through what I know.
Like, you're not going to see Squaresoft partner with fucking the Pokemon company for a Pokemon game.
Though Squaresoft partnering them for the actual really good Pokemon Tactics game instead of Conquest, I would be so down.
I mean, let's be real here, though. If they're going to partner with anybody for a Tactics RPG, it's going to be the Fire Emblem team, right? It's going to be Nintendo. It's not going to be Square.
I mean, I'd be good at that, too.
Yeah, but that would be a side game, right? Like that's not even what we're talking about now. We've already had that conversation in the long, long ago. I would love to see Genius Sonority get another crack at primarily developing a title. They are, of course, the developers of Colosseum and XD. So not just to make like a side game with some core mechanics, but to just really stretch their wings and make a Pokemon game, I think could be really, really fun. They made the first 3D Pokemon RPG, like the very first for the GameCube. And I think it'd be really kind of cool to see what they could do with more modern tools.
The return. Oh.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the return of stealing Pokemon from trainers.
I mean, yeah, like if you wanted to revisit that concept and give us like a Colosseum remake or a third game in that series or something, like I'd love to revisit the Ore region, or again, just something entirely new and more traditional would also be very, very good. A much less likely shot, but one that I'm going to shoot because again, 120 hours into Persona 5, fucking Atlas has done more interesting stuff with a turn-based RPG than I think anybody else in the last decade. And so letting them get their hands on Pokemon, I think, would be really fucking rad.
I've never played any of the Persona games. I can't comment on this.
I mean, they're wild in that very anime type of wild where you go from, like, these adults are a problem, we need to take care of them in this weird anime way, to we have to fight literal God because he's destroying the planet over the course of about 60 hours, you know, as you do. And then your giant demon pulls a giant gun and shoots God in the face. So that's fun.
Or a la Persona 3 where you shoot yourself in the head to use your abilities.
That's very weird.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. But like, one of the really cool things about the Persona franchise is that, like, it's only about 50% traditional, like, turn-based RPG. Like, the other half of the game is like, a life sim. But the things that you do in the life sim, like because it's all cognitive, like creating relationships with people make you stronger within the cognitive world and give you new abilities and blah, blah, blah. And, like, the way that they take these very disparate game elements and weave them together and make every task feel meaningful in every situation is, I think, really laudable and something that a lot of games struggle with. Yes, I'm looking at you, Square Enix. Yes, I'm throwing shade at you, Square Enix. We shade the things that we love, and Final Fantasy has been in need of that kind of innovation forever. Forever. So yeah, I think it could be really interesting just to see like what their take would be on a much more child-friendly franchise in the form of Pokemon.
Persona is not child-friendly. It has dick chariots.
Not even a little bit. It has dick chariots, and you get your new Pokemon by executing old Pokemon. It's not.
Yeah, you literally murder your personas to make new personas.
I got nothing.
Also, lots of waifus, which we know that Pokemon and Persona have in common. They can.
This is a fun tangent.
It is. It's good times. Yeah. Also, in probably like the most likely shout, Toby Fox, the guy who made Undertale, has worked with Game Freak, actually did the composing on the Battle Tower track of Pokemon Sword and Shield. And like, I would love to see him get his hands on Pokemon in a much more like real game devy way. Undertale is rad as fuck.
Undertale Pokemon. That would be interesting.
The Pokemon pacifist run. You battle no trainers. You do no things.
You talk it out.
I mean, like, we've talked before about how, like, people who are Pokemon trainers who are not focused on battling, like, very much exist within the world and are important. They just aren't the focus of the game, because how could they be?
Are you saying that Tierno can't run his own game?
Pokemon dance.
I'm saying that in Pokemon Undertale, Tierno could be the main character.
Okay, so we're saying 2024 is going to be Pokemon Dance and Pokemon... What's the other one?
Pokemon Dance? That's actually probably a thing somewhere. It's percolating in the minds of Game Freak.
We've already had Mario DDR, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's coming.
Pikachu Let's Dance is just around the corner.
It just opens up with Professor Tierno, who's a professor of dancing, because why the fuck not?
Call us, Game Freak. We'll be happy to license this to you. It's just, when we were talking about this, my thought immediately went to an arcade where there'd be like a jumbo size two platform machine with Tierno just spinning around on the screen with his Pokemon.
No, I'm sorry. Tierno is fine and good and great, but if there is going to be a Pokemon dancing game, it's fucking Mirror B. It has to be Mirror B, and it's two Ludicolos shaking their maracas.
Not Guzma?
No, it's fucking... Do y'all not know who Mirror B is?
Not off the top of my head.
Nope.
From Colosseum and XD, the dude with the big Pokeball afro and all the Ludicolos.
Oh, I've never played Colosseum or XD.
Nope, yeah, me neither.
Podcast over. We're done here. Goodbye.
Yep, this has solidified it. It's all done.
I mean, we could add Colosseum XD to our freaking world tour. Might as well.
No, we're not Nuzlocke in Colosseum. I don't want to literally... I don't want to pull a Persona 3 over here. We're not Nuzlocke in Colosseum.
Wow.
Yeah, put that squirrel down like old Yeller.
I think we broke Steven.
Sorry, little buddy. Let me take you out the back.
I'm just going to go nap now. Good night, everybody.
I think we're on our last question. Let's just wrap up.
Yeah, we're good. That's going to be it for today, guys. I'm sorry these last ones have been a little short in the grand scheme of BBR episodes, but guess what? We'll be back in 2 weeks with the episode that you've been waiting for. It's time. The Nuzlocke World Tour is back. It is time to kick off Series 8 with our Pokemon X and Y introduction, which will be in your ears 2 weeks from now. Now that we're back, as always, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us by email at blastburnradio@gmail.com, and be sure to follow the show on social media all around the web at Blastburn Radio. We'll keep you up to date on what we are up to on the internets. As always, you can follow me personally at BBRJolly on Twitter.
I'm at Celeste Lost.
And I'm at Incidentally Anna. As a point of note, if you enjoy playing the RPGs, the tabletop variety, you can do so online or use a virtual tabletop to enhance your meat space game, which I'm guessing probably hasn't been happening for a bit for reasons we won't discuss. But if you are into those kind of things, make sure to check out my company, Mythic Portal Games. We sell art, music, you know, tokens, maps, all that good stuff on a variety of different platforms. Check us out.
All right. I do want to thank everyone for joining us today. I want to give a very special thank you, as always, to my co-hosts, Anima Servier and Celeste Dreyer. For Blastburn Radio, I have been Stephen Charbonneau. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.
See y'all next time.
Thanks, everybody.
Blastburn Radio is a production of Challenge Accepted Media. This episode was produced by Patrick Miller. If you enjoy Blastburn Radio, you can support us at patreon.com/challengeacceptedmedia. Pokemon and all related games and characters are the property and trademark of Nintendo, Game Freak, and the Pokemon Company. Opening music in today's episode includes Game On by Fishy off the OC Remix album, The Missing No Tracks. Check out this great album at missingno.ocremix.org. Battle music in today's episode provided by Glitch X City. Check out her work on YouTube or SoundCloud at Glitch X City. Closing music in today's episode is Professor Sycamore's theme remix, also by Glitch X City. Design work for Blastburn Radio Season 8 provided by Rachel Mondragon at Rachichu, Nathan at Fiery Dance, and Chisai at Chisai236. Check out their other work or contact them for commissions on Twitter. Blastburn Radio and its hosts are solely responsible for its content.